Such a beautiful song of resignation. I just love that song, and I thought it was sung particularly well this morning there and that. I'd like to continue our attention on Jonah. I didn't want to step on Brother Allen's territory too much this morning, and so I thought, what better character to look at than Jonah? So maybe Gerald and I were thinking the same thing there, I don't know. But here is a man, we've heard some really good messages on qualifications and character. But Jonah defied a lot of that. You know, if you'd ask a youngster, who do you think of when you think of disobedience in a prophet? Well, yeah, you'd say Jonah, wouldn't you? Or there's a lot of negative things about Jonah. But there are some very positive things about Jonah as well. And one of those things is that he was really a man's man in a lot of ways. Who of us would say when we're at fault to throw us into the ocean and just let us drown? You know? He had some resolve there. But there was more than that, and that is that the story of Jonah, there is nobody in the history of man that I know of that was more effective in his work, including our Lord Jesus and his ministry, than Jonah was. Jonah went to the city of Nineveh, and he, the least to the greatest, repented in sackcloth and ashes. Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees that Jonah is going to be my witness. Jonah rose, he came back from the whale's belly. Jesus came back from the tomb. And the church grew in a tremendous way. But not all of Jerusalem, not even all of Jerusalem, where he was there, repented. Jonah was the most effective man in his mission that what we have. Now, Jesus was the one that is the one that built the church and is one that's going to be victorious in the end. He will be the most effective person. And even to this day, it's his work is the most effective of any. I don't know what the history of Nineveh was after Jonah's remembrance was gone. But there are some really interesting things about Jonah, and that is that he was, in spite of the fact that he turned away from God, and he deliberately went another direction, he did come back, and he did do what God told him to. And was the most successful man that we know of. But the unfortunate thing is he didn't appreciate it. He didn't want to see that happen. It's just, I can't get into the mind of Jonah. Just can't quite figure him out. I'm a long ways from figuring him out, actually. But there's some things tell you that there's lots more there than what we have written down. And one of the things is when it's in the last chapter, he says in verse 2, I'll read verse 1. People repented, and God saw that they repented, and he turned his anger away from them. And in the last verse in chapter 3, it says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, Was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before thee unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Now that's an unusual picture of God in the Old Testament. Usually we see God as one that required obedience and punished those that didn't obey. Well, God was ready to. But Jonah saw a side of God that was unknown to most people, that he was merciful. And he was afraid this was going to happen, and that's why he didn't want to do it in the first place. Now, what kind of person is that? You know, he was depending on he was enjoying the very mercy that he wanted to deprive other people of. He knew that God was merciful, and he was depending on that mercy for himself, and yet he wanted to take it away from others. You know, isn't that too many times like us? You know, we are a little bit that way too, aren't we? So Jonah wasn't that far. So yeah, he was a man. But Jonah he did do what God asked him to. And the last part, the book ends with not a lot of comfort. It's just a question that God asked Jonah. You know, shouldn't I have done this when there's so many people? You know, I'm reminded again that God loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the love that God had. Well, God uses different things in different ways, and the message is clear that sometimes God works because of us, sometimes God works in spite of us. And so I think we should work carefully for the Lord, but we don't get the glory either way. I've got a story from an old Reader's Digest that I thought I would share this morning a little bit. We want the advice of our missionary, the young Korean deacon from a country church said to me. We don't know too much about the Korean conflict. It doesn't really have a lot of history yet if you study it, you can find it. But Korea was devastated right after World War II by the U.S. Trying to contain communism. And there's still a line there between the North and the South. And South Korea is very, very friendly to Christians, but North Korea is not very much so. And I'm not sure which Korea this one was. It was before the line was drawn. It's a very old Reader's Digest that I found this in. So these people said, we want advice from our missionary. The young Korean deacon from a country church said to me, we have a 500-pound bomb that the Americans dropped 5 years ago near our village. It didn't explode, and they say it will make fine church bells. Can you tell us how to cut it in two? How did you get it here? Have you unloaded it, I asked. We brought it on the bus, and they charged us two fares. We couldn't get the inside stuff out, but we screwed off the end thing. I mopped my brow. Take that thing at once to Army headquarters and get it unloaded. Then have someone cut it in two with a hacksaw. The next day, I met my young friend on the street. Did the Army unload your bomb for you, I asked. Oh, we didn't like to bother them, he replied. We found a man who knew how to do it, how to cut the bomb, and we poured water on it while he sawed. They say we can sell the white pellets we found inside to fishermen to explode underwater to stun fish. It may pay all the costs. It worked out just fine. Today, at the two churches in this area, today there are two churches are proudly displayed two suspended half bombs made in the USA. When struck with a wooden mallet, they sound as melodiously as the best church bells and summon worshipers from as far as 3 miles. Now, one thing in warfare, it's common to use the weapons that the enemy has as your own. You capture those, you can use them as your own. That's common. And sometimes the church does that too. And then this is one place where this is beautiful. We read this, we sang this song this morning. Jesus, great builder of the church below. I think this is one place where he captured the enemy's weapons and turned it for good. Taking a bomb that was meant for destruction, using it as church bells to call people to worship. We have a great God. He shows he's powerful. He shows us that it's all about him. It's not about us. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, as we come to you today, we want to thank you for the privilege we have of serving you. We want to thank you that we can call you our Father and that we can be your children. Today, we pray that for continued guidance in this work of the ministry, continued guidance in choosing and ordaining leaders for your church. Thank you that we can trust that you are all-knowing and all-seeing. We ask it in your name. Amen.